Exodus chapter 32 tonight, Exodus chapter 32. This is part three to a message that I began, Sunday a week ago. I believe I preached all day on this, if my memory serves me correct. And I'm giving you part three to this message. So I encourage you, if you do not remember parts one and two, or if you weren't here to hear those, I encourage you to go back and get it, because I'm just going to tap on the head what I've already gone over and then pick up right where we left off. Exodus chapter 32, this is the chapter of the story of the golden calf. And you'll notice in verse number 17 that Joshua says there's a noise of war in the camp. Yet in verse number 30, Moses says they've sinned a great sin. Verse 31, all this people have sinned a great sin. Verse 32, if thou wilt forgive their sin. So you'll notice sin, 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 and then the phrase in the camp. And I'm giving you part three to the message that I've entitled Sin in the Camp. Let's pray together and I'll bring us up to date with where we are. Father, we thank you for this service. And we pray that you'll fill us with your power and your spirit tonight. Help me to be a clean vessel. If there's anything in my heart and life hindering you, would you forgive me, remove it, and get it out? We pray that you'll speak to our hearts in a clear voice and make us, Lord, what you saved us to be. And Lord, we give this service to you. Thank you for giving us health to be here and challenge us from your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Moses had been up on the mountain in communion with the Lord God of heaven, and the Lord had been giving him the law and the instructions for the making of the tabernacle with all of its furnishings. But as you come to the end of chapter 31, which we've already preached through, God gave Moses two tables of stone written with the finger of God. And may I say to you that what God gave to Moses in stone written with his finger, God has given us a copy of it tonight. And I'm thrilled and amazed that we hold a copy of the Word of God in our presence tonight. And while Moses was meeting with God, something very different was taking place at the bottom of the mountain. There was sin in the camp. And as we will see with this sin in the camp, that there's a lot of applicable truth that we can apply to our own lives. Something that was very displeasing to the Lord was taking place. And as we study these things, we can receive these great lessons to learn from. And let me just bring you back up to date with where we are. I'm giving you the application, which is basically the sermon. Number one, we've already preached on this. I'm just going to mention it and go on. First of all, we looked at how we all worship and sacrifice. Secondly, we've studied how we are to live by faith. Thirdly, we've seen that we're to use God's blessing to worship Him, not something else. Number four, we've looked that God does not accept mixed worship. Number five, we've preached on belief affects behavior. Number six, we've preached on God sees and knows our actions and words. And number seven, this is where we're at. We're to be a leader like Moses, not like Aaron. Now, I've already preached on Aaron, and remember several things about him. Don't worry about this tonight, because I'm going somewhere else. But remember, he compromised God's will to please men. He led the people to worship God in a wrong way. He brought a great sin upon the people. He made excuses for his mistakes, and he made the people naked under their shame before their enemies. That was Aaron. We are not to be a leader like him. On the flip side, we're to be a leader like Moses. And we've already preached on some of this. Let me just tell you how far we've gotten. First of all, he prayed for his people. Secondly, he obeyed the Lord's command himself. Thirdly, he got angry with sin. Fourth, he destroyed the influence. Number five, he confronted Aaron. Now we pick up tonight in our study with number six. This is under the major point, be a leader like Moses, not like Aaron. Now, number six, what kind of a leader was he? And this applies to all leaders. This applies to parents with children. This applies to Sunday school teachers in a Sunday school class. A bus worker on the bus route. It applies to leadership positions in this church. It applies to leadership positions in the home. It applies to leadership positions on the job. You name it, a majority of people listening to me are either leaders or have been in their life. More than likely, If God tarries his coming and he gives you life, even teenagers, listen to me right now, some of you are leaders in your school. But if God tarries his coming and gives you life, and one day you marry and God gives you children, I'm telling you, you are now a leader. Many people lead. Sometimes they don't think that way. They think, well, the leader is the pastor, or, you know, the leader is the president. Wait a minute. Are they leaders? Yes. But a majority of people at some time in their life will lead somebody else. And every leader can learn from Moses. May we determine tonight that we're going to be a leader like this. What a leader Moses was. Let me give you number six. Six now, we're just kind of walking through these verses together. Number six, what kind of a leader was he? He was a leader who called for a clear decision. He called for a clear decision. Let me explain this to you. Look at verse number 26. This is Exodus chapter 32, verse number 26. Now, this is after Moses comes down off the mountain. He now sees the golden calf. He gets mad. He gets angry. He gets upset. He throws the stone tablets down. They break at the bottom of the mountain. And then he says this. Look at verse 26. Then Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, "Who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me." And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together unto him. Now notice at this point, Moses stood in the gate of the camp. And he said, "Who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me." Notice this, folks. He did not leave any room for maybe. He did not leave any room for let me think about it. And he didn't leave any room for let me pray about it for a few days and then I'll get back with you. He didn't leave any room for that. Moses called the people he was leading to make a clear decision to follow the Lord. In other words, he did not make them think you can have a foot in and a foot out. He did not do that. He said, "Who is on the Lord's side?" See, there was no wondering what Moses was asking these people to do. He was asking his followers to make a complete break with the world and a complete decision to commit themselves to choose to serve the Lord. May I say this to you? He wasn't wishy-washy. He wasn't you can have it your way. He was simply saying there is no middle ground. Will you choose to serve the Lord or will you not? It's an interesting story that Charles Spurgeon tells. He's referring to when President Lincoln was in office. And he says, and I quote, talking about a story here, he says, "We trust the Lord is on our side, Mr. Lincoln," somebody said to him. It was the speaker of a delegation of Christian people to that man during one of the darkest days of the American Civil War. You can imagine this man going to Mr. Lincoln and saying, "We trust the Lord is on our side," during this dark day of the Civil War. And here's what Mr. Lincoln said. He said, "I do not regard that as so essential as something else." When he said that, the worthy visitors looked horror-struck until the president added, and here's what he said, "I am most concerned to know that we are on the Lord's side. See, the right side is not my side. The right side's not your side. The right side is the Lord's side. The Lord's side is the place to which every one of us should rally. His banner has right, truth, love, and holiness written on it. Be sure you stand up for God's banner, even if you stand alone." That's Charles Spurgeon speaking. See, it's interesting here, and keep in mind, somewhere around 600,000 men Moses was standing before during this time. Somewhere around that number, 600,000. And the Bible says he stood in the gate alone. And he said, "Who is on the Lord's side. Let him come and be with me. You know what he's saying? I have chosen the Lord's side. Who is going to choose it with me? I am convinced that if nobody came to his side, he would have stayed on that side himself. Let me tell you why. Because he had just gotten off the mountain with God. And when you commune with God and you are with him and he's unloading on you in a good way, he gives you the fortitude and the boldness to stand in the gate and lead like Moses and say, I have chosen the Lord. Will you choose him with me? It's time for biblical leaders. I'm talking to parents. I'm talking to husbands with their wives. I'm talking to me as a pastor. I'm talking to me as a Sunday school teacher. I'm talking to bus workers. I'm talking to those that lead at work. However you lead, it's time for biblical leaders to bring their followers to a clear decision for Jesus Christ. See, there's too much have it your own way leaders today. There's too much, well, you can go ahead and have it that way. That's fine. That's not the way God works. And that's not the way God functions. Moses was not one of these people that said you can choose how you want to serve. The fact of the matter is he brought his followers to the point to where they had to make a decision one way or the other. They had to. He brought them face to face with commitment to Jesus Christ. May I say this to you? You cannot serve God with one foot in the world. It's impossible. You can't do it. And this is what Moses is saying. He's saying you cannot have the golden calf and the Lord. You can't have it. You must choose sides. And folks, this is what leaders do. They bring their people to the point to where they know they cannot be neutral. There's no neutral Christianity. There's no neutral followers of Jesus Christ. You're either in or you're out. You're not in the middle. There's no such thing. And this is what he was doing as a leader. So may I echo what he said? Who's on the Lord's side? Let him come and be with Moses. I hope that everybody under the sound of my voice and those listening and those who will listen to this later and those who are here tonight, I hope in your heart you're saying, I'm going to be like the Levites. And if the whole crowd does not go, I'm going. This is what a biblical leader does. He brings his followers to a place of decision. Matthew 12:30 says, he that is not with me is against me. This is what Jesus said. And he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. Here's what he's saying. You can't be with me and not be with me. It's impossible. You've got to choose. 1 Kings 18:21, and Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt you between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. Here's what Elijah said. You can't have Baal and God. If God is God, follow him. If Baal is God, follow him. But you can't follow both. Folks, it's common sense. Baal's here, God's there. You cannot go both directions. It's that simple. And biblical leaders never make their followers think they can do this. They never do that. Biblical leaders always call for total commitment to be on the Lord's side. That's what biblical leaders do. That's what biblical leading parents do with their children. That's what biblical leading husbands do with their families. That's what biblical leading Sunday school teachers and bus workers and pastors and staff members and deacons, that's what they do with their followers. They do not let them think they can have the world. They must say, you cannot have the world if you're going to serve Jesus Christ. That's a biblical leader, and we need more of them today. Let me give you letter G, whatever that is. Let me give you another verse here on that. Matthew 6:24. No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. That's what God's word said. And let me give you the next thing. This kind of goes hand in hand with that. This is letter G, whatever number that is. We find this in verse number 29. Another thing that this biblical leader did, he encouraged consecration. Now look at this in verse number 29. For Moses had said, consecrate yourselves today to the Lord, even every man upon his son and upon his brother, that he may bestow upon you a blessing this day. In other words, here's what it said. Moses had said, consecrate yourselves today. Why? That he may bless you. What a leader. What a leader. See, Moses told these people that he was leading to consecrate themselves, notice this now, to the Lord, that he may bestow upon you a blessing. You know what the word consecrate means? It means to make or declare sacred. It means to set apart or dedicate to the service of a deity. That's what it means. It means to hallow. Get this, when he said, consecrate yourselves to those he's leading, he's saying, make and declare yourself sacred. He's saying this, set yourself apart and dedicate yourself completely to serve God. That's all in that word consecrate. Get this. Moses encouraged his people to set themselves apart to the service of God so God could bless their life. You know what a biblical leader does? He does not pump his own agenda. And he does not try to get the followers to submit to holiness and holy standards just so they can check a list. You know what a biblical leader does? He leads his people to a consecrated, holy, dedicated life because he knows that is how God is going to bless the people. May I put it this way? You show me a biblical leader who does not preach and teach holy living to their children, parents, to their family, men, to their co-workers, to their Sunday school. You follow me where I'm going with all of this. Just apply it to whatever leader you are, whether it be leading your children, leading your wife, leading your co-workers, leading the Sunday school class, apply it. A biblical leader who does not encourage holy living is cheating his followers. Because God has promised to bless a holy life. And Moses said, notice it, verse 29, Moses said, consecrate yourselves today to the Lord, even every man upon his son, upon his brother. Notice this, that he may bestow upon you a blessing this day. Do you see his heart here? He's saying, I'm not telling you to be holy just to be holy. I'm telling you to be holy because this is what God desires. And if you do what God desires, you live a consecrated life. He's going to bless your life. How many times have we heard Preacher Lashley lead this church in a way like that? And I'm just trying to follow in that man's footsteps. Is God pleased with consecration? Yes. Yes. Then a biblical leader will open his mouth and say so. In his home, in his marriage, in his workplace, and wherever he leads. See, a true biblical leader encourages his followers to completely dedicate themselves to God's service in order to have God's blessing upon them. Let me ask you a question. Do you encourage those you lead to consecrate themselves to serve God? Do you encourage those you lead to give themselves completely to God so that they may have God's blessing on their life? See, you know how parents who have children, and I'm speaking from experience, you ever had a child who is just not doing things the way that they should be doing them? And it's displeasing to you and displeasing to the Lord? You ever gotten so angry with your children that you respond wrong? And you start so-called, I'm going to put my foot down. Let me say this to you. Moms and dads ought to put their foot down. But why do you put it down? Do you put it down because they rubbed you wrong? Or are you putting it down and saying, we're not going to have that here because God can't bless that? You see the difference? A biblical leader does not put his foot down for himself. A biblical leader puts his foot down for God and says, I will not allow that in this house. I will not allow that here. We will not do that here. We will not respond like that here. We will not say those things like that here. Why? Because God wants to bless your life. And I'm calling you to consecrate yourself so God can bless you. Does that make sense what I just said? This is the next thing. Let me give you the next thing. This is letter H. Another kind of, two more things about this leader, and then we'll give you one final thought in this chapter. The next thing, what kind of a leader was he that everybody in here would do well to mimic, to imitate? He was a leader, here's next, who called sin exactly what it is. He called sin exactly what it is. We see this in verses 30 and 31. Notice the language now. It came to pass on the morrow that Moses said unto the people, ye have sinned a great sin. And now I will go up unto the Lord. Peradventure I shall make an atonement for your sin. And Moses returned to the Lord and said, oh, this people have sinned a great sin and have made them gods of gold. See, here's another point that comes out about a biblical leader. And I've already said this earlier, not today. I'm talking about it in a former sermon, that a biblical leader is not spineless. He's not spineless. What I mean by that is that he has a backbone of steel. If something breaks the heart of God, a biblical leader is going to lift his voice against it. We need more of that. By the way, in the right spirit, the right attitude. And if somebody sins a great sin, why are they lifting their voice? May I say this to you? There are folks today, and there are folks in this auditorium, me included, who can be tempted. When somebody sins a great sin, to lift their voice against that person. To speak out against that person. To start saying, I can't believe he did that. He needs to be punished. May I say this to you? All of that is true. But where are the Christian leaders who go to other people when they sin great sins? And so I'm going to tell you something. What you did was wrong. But God still wants to bless your life. If you'll consecrate yourself, I'm working backwards. Do you see what this man of God did? This man of God said, consecrate yourselves. Who's on the Lord's side? This was after they sinned. But yet in the middle of all of it, when he went to God in prayer, and he went to those people, he looked at those people and he said, you have sinned a great sin. When he went to God, oh, they've sinned a great sin. Was he telling the truth? Yes. This tells me that he did not sugarcoat sin. Can I put it this way? Sometimes a biblical leader is tempted to sweep something under the rug because he just doesn't want to deal with it. May I say this to you? You don't have to deal with everything. That's why it takes Holy Ghost discernment. We need to deal with that. No, give that time. You understand what I'm saying to you? But when it's a great sin that's causing God's blessing, His hand of blessing to be removed from the congregation, and God is upset because there's a golden calf in the midst, a biblical leader cannot turn his face and say, "Oh, well, maybe if I just ignore it, it's going to go away." It doesn't work that way, friends. A biblical leader will blow his trumpet against sin, but he'll do it with the right spirit. See, a true biblical leader never downplays sin. He never belittles sin. Rather, a biblical leader calls sin what God calls it and sees sin as great before the eyes of God. Let me ask you a question. Are you a leader that sugarcoats sin? Are you a leader that tries to minimize sin? Or do you lift your voice against it and call it what it is? This is the biblical leader that God wants us to be. Let me give you the final thing about him. Hang on, brethren, I'm almost there, okay? The final thing about the leader that Moses was, just going back to tonight, he called for a clear decision. He did not make them think that they could have the golden calf and God. He said, "Who's on the Lord's side?" He brought them to the point where they had to choose one way or the other. He encouraged consecration in their life so that God may bless them. He called sin what it is. He didn't belittle it. He didn't downplay it. He didn't sugarcoat it. He said, "What you did is a great sin." But here's a final thing that he did. And every leader can learn this lesson. We find it in verses 30 through 32. Let me read this again. "It came to pass on the morrow that Moses said unto the people, 'Ye have sinned a great sin. And I will go up unto the Lord. Peradventure I shall make an atonement for your sin.' And Moses returned to the Lord and said, 'Oh, this people have sinned a great sin and have made them gods of gold. Yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sin, and if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book, which thou hast written.'" It's not written in plain language like what I'm getting ready to bring out to you, but you read between the lines and you can see something about this leader. Finally tonight, with this point, he loved the people he led. He loved them. Friends, in these verses, you see how Moses loved these dear people. This man of God told the Lord, "If you're not going to forgive them, just punish me and take me out prematurely." Miss Lashley put it well when she said this. She said, "Moses had been misunderstood. He had been envied. And he had been opposed by these very people. Yet, he loved them." He loved them. Hey, how would you like to lead this group that Moses was leading? As for that man Moses, we don't know what happened to him. Who you think you are, Moses? He was misunderstood. He was envied. They opposed him. And they were guilty. But you see the heart of this dear leader coming out when he said, "Please forgive them. But if you choose not to, please blot me out of your book." You know what that's called? Servant leadership. You know who the greatest leaders are? The greatest servants. Wait till we get to John chapter 13. Could be Sunday morning. What kind of a leader was Jesus? He was a leader who got up and began to wash his followers' feet. Let me tell you why. Because the Bible said, having loved his own, he loved them to the end. This man, this leader, was a true biblical leader who truly loved those he was leading. A true Bible biblical leader like Moses will not lead people out of hate, out of duty, out of duty, out of duty, or out of anything else except love. Let me ask you a question. Do you love those you fought? Do you love those you lead? Do you love them enough to die for them? Be careful. You say, if I'm going to be a leader like Moses, what kind of a leader am I? I'm going to be a leader that even when somebody's guilty, I'm willing to lay my life down for them because I'm their leader. Sound familiar? Who's that remind you of? They're guilty, but I'll die for them. Who's it remind you of? It's the Lord. And Moses is saying this, God, I love these people so much that even though they've sinned a great sin, even though they're guilty, they're unworthy, if you don't forgive them, punish me in their place. What a leader. What a leader. Am I a leader like that? I want to be. Am I? I'm not going to be somebody that says, yes, I am. But I have a desire to be. John 13:1, now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. Romans 9:3, for I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh. That's the Apostle Paul. Let me read that again. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren. May I paraphrase that? I wish I could go to hell so they don't have to. Now, if you think you're a leader like that, you're a better person than me. Can I say this? I can't say I'd want to go to hell for anybody. Maybe my children, maybe my wife, my family, maybe you, if God's working in my heart. Do you understand that the love we're talking about is supernatural love? Only God could give Paul the desire that he had right there. I wish I could be accursed from Christ for my brethren. Only God could put love in Moses' heart when he was so mistreated by these people and he saw that golden calf to say, listen, Lord, if you don't forgive them, take me out. Only God could do that. Be a leader like Moses, not like Aaron. Let me give you the final thought. The major thought was be a leader like Moses. Remember, we were just plowing through that. Here's the final thought of the chapter. It's found in verses 33 to 35. Let's read this, and then I'll give you the final thought. The Lord said unto Moses, whosoever has sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book. Therefore now go, lead the people into the place of which I have spoken to thee. Behold, mine angel shall go before thee. Nevertheless, in the day that I will visit their sin upon them. Notice verse 35. And the Lord plagued the people because they made the calf which Aaron made. Here's the final thought for this chapter. Sin has consequences. Sin has consequences. This is found in these verses. See, at the conclusion of this chapter, we see the Lord is merciful to these people. He even recommissions Moses to lead them to the place he told him to. But notice how the chapter ends with the people being plagued. And notice the Bible says, because they made the calf. See, this goes to show that even though God may show mercy when we sin, it does not necessarily wipe out the results of that sin. For instance, sin has consequences. If you, in a moment of rage, run your hand through a glass, and it's so badly lacerated that they have to cut your hand off, you can get on your face and beg God to forgive you, but you will not sprout a new hand. Because sin has consequences. Give this now and understand it. We really do reap what we sow. This is what Galatians 6:7 says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. So in this chapter, we've noticed several things. In this story of sin in the camp, chapter 32 of the book of Exodus, we saw while Moses was up on the mountain communing with God, the people grew impatient and demanded a false idol. And Aaron made this idol for them to follow and to sacrifice to. And as we study this chapter together, we notice several things. Tonight, I'm just bringing us to what we preached on tonight. You can go back and get the others. Are you a leader like Moses? Do you call your followers for a clear decision for Jesus Christ? Have you stood in the gate and said, who's on the Lord's side? Have you made a decision to be on the Lord's side? And are you calling those that you love to join you? Are you encouraging consecration so God can bless them? Are you calling sin what it is? And are you loving those you lead, no matter what they do? No matter how great of a sin they commit, do you love them? Sometimes we have unpleasant things happening in Buffalo Ridge. Not everybody that comes is pleasant. That's a shocker, right? Not everybody that comes in Sunday school is a pleasant thing. Can I put it this way? The Lord loves them as much as He loves me. And He wants to love them through a leader. Will you let Him? You know what would be good for many to do tonight during our prayer time we're going to have here in just a moment? It'd be good for many leaders to get out of their seat, get on their face and say, God, give me that supernatural love you gave Moses. Give me that supernatural love you gave Paul. And help me with those I lead to love them. I'm not talking necessarily to moms and dads, because that's a natural thing for moms and dads to love their child. But it would be good for moms and dads to ask for supernatural love in their home. But I am calling on Sunday school teachers and bus workers. You folks love people, I know that, it's obvious. If we're not careful, the love can grow cold and calloused. May God keep us close to His heart. Then I close with this thought. Before you do it, realize before you do it, there will be consequences. So don't give in easily. Sin has consequences. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Shall we? Father, we love you tonight. Help us, Lord, to be the leader like you want us to be. Help us, Lord God, to realize that sin has consequences and to think before we act, because what we do could have lasting effects. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. When they get prepared, they're going to begin to play through softly. I ask you tonight, do you know for sure that you're going to heaven some glorious day? Has there been a time in your life where you've trusted Christ and Christ alone? If there hasn't, or if you're not sure, come and let us take a Bible and share with you the gospel. But really tonight, I'm speaking to Christians. I'm speaking to moms and dads who are leading children. I'm speaking to husbands who are leading wives and families. I'm speaking to Sunday school workers who are leading classes and children and adults and teenagers. I'm speaking to bus workers who lead those precious children and adults who ride your bus. I'm speaking to any kind of a leader at all, maybe in your workplace. Have you know somehow, some way, you're leading people. You're leading people. Be honest. Would you raise your hand? Yes. See, that's a majority of you in this room. And that's what I'm talking about. Most people are leaders. Now, if you raise your hand, I want you to look at me just a moment. Would you do that? It's a majority of you. All I'm preaching tonight is right out of this book. There's so many things about leadership in the Word of God. I'm just giving you what chapter 32 says about it. That's it. But you understand that if we will be the leaders like Moses was just in this one chapter of the Word of God, it would revolutionize our church. Revolutionize our families, our children, our homes. Can I put it this way? God, make me a Moses. Make me a Moses. We know we're giving the glory to God because God worked in this man's life. You understand that? But I think it'd be appropriate because in chapter 32, he's the leader here that we're trying to mimic. Why don't you say, God, make me like Moses. Make me a dad, a husband, a Sunday school teacher, a bus worker, a co-worker, a boss, whatever, like Moses. That's my desire. Is it yours? Is it? I'm going to pray and then open the altar. If you want to come and pray, you do that between you and God. Father, I pray you'll help us now to respond. It's one thing to hear. It's another thing to heed. It's one thing to know what to do. It's another thing to act upon it. And may many leaders tonight stand to their feet and say, I'm on the Lord's side. Who will join me? Make us like you. Make us like Moses. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I'm going to ask Brother Gary if he wouldn't mind just to begin to sing. And if you want to come and get on your knees or get on your face and say, God, make me like Moses. As Brother Gary sings, you come. Would you do that? Come now. Would you do it? Leaders, would you do it? Come on. Come talk to God about it. Make me like Moses.
Have thine own way.
I'm talking to moms and dads. I'm talking to husbands.
Have thine own way.
I'm talking to Sunday school workers, bus workers.
Thou art the potter.
Lord, make me like Moses. Help me to be a leader like this. Help me to be a leader that loves my people. Help me to be a leader. Call sin out when it needs to be called. Help me to be a leader that encourages the followers to be consecrated so God can bless them. Help me to be a leader that calls for a clear decision, a clear commitment, a clear commitment. If you still have children in the home, you still have children in your home, and you're not praying at the altar, and you're not praying there in your seat, I'd like you to look at me just a moment. Would you do that? If you still have children in your home, won't you look right here at me just a moment? We need, because I'm with you, we need moms and dads who draw a line in the sand and say, we're going God's way. And we want you to join us. Can you force them? You can force their actions, but you cannot force their will. You know that, right? You can force them to submit outwardly, but you can't do it inwardly. Don't you wish we could? I do. We can't. You know what our children need? A dad who's like Moses. A mom who's like Moses. who does what he did in this chapter. May God help us with this. No doubt about it. As they're playing through, I want to end this service by praying for our revival coming up with Brother Joe Arthur. I want to pray for God to bless and touch down, so to speak. Ask God to speak to us as he comes. May the Lord breathe upon it. May he receive the glory and honor for it. No doubt about it. So I want to ask us to bow our heads and to close our eyes. She's just going to fade out here. And let's pray together. If you're sitting with somebody that you feel comfortable praying with, then just pray together there. And in just a moment, I'm going to ask Brother Marty Scroggs, if you wouldn't mind, sir, to come up here, if you don't mind, and just give a minute or so, and then you lead us in prayer here, specifically for Brother Joe Arthur and the revival, okay? Thank you for being here tonight. God bless you.
We thank you for the message we heard tonight, Lord. We pray that you'll just help us, Lord, to be better leaders for you. Help us to apply this to our lives, Lord. Change us because of this message, Lord. Lord, we especially want to remember tonight, Brother Arthur, as he comes to preach the revival. Lord, I pray that you'll bless him now. Lay on his heart the messages that we need, Lord. The message that I need, Lord. Lord, I pray that you'll just speak through him. Fill him with your power and your strength, help him physically, Lord. Lord, I pray that you'll be with him spiritually, God. Lord, I pray that you'll just meet with our church. I pray, Lord, that you'll just bless us the time that he's here. I pray, Lord, that you'll remove a hindrance and any obstacles that would keep us from being here. Lord, I pray that you'll just bless us, help us to have our hearts right for you, to be receptive to your word. Lord, I pray that you'll just get honor and glory in the time that he's here. Father, if someone comes that's not saved, Lord, would you please save them? Lord, touch their hearts, draw them to you. Father, we just give you the honor and glory and the praise and just thank you for how good you've been to us and for all that you've done for us. Bless our church. Bless our pastor. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Please help yourself to the plates out there, okay? Take as many as you want, all right? Thank you.